Call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
This week on Neighbourhood Watch, I talk to Radio Adelaide's Zoe Canandes on the federal government's lack of plans to provide Indigenous legal services with extra funds, as well as the revelation that 82 Victoria police officers were charged with family violence offences, but only one was found guilty. But I started off with Zoe by talking about Queensland Liberal Party leader Deb Frecklington's bizarre election policy to trial curfews for young people in Cairns and Townsville, regardless if they committed a crime. Here's Zoe.
So Queensland are coming up to their election, and we've seen a really weird, strange proposal from the Queensland Liberal National Party. They've promised that they are going to trial a youth curfew in Townsville and Cairns if they win this state election coming up. It obviously has... I mean, it feels like it's the movie Footloose. It's really strange. They've... It's obviously caused a lot of concern from a lot of human rights organisations. Also, they have been accused of dog whistling. So they announced this pledge yesterday, only yesterday, and there has already been a massive backlash about it. They said that they, the opposition leader, so Deb Frecklington, said that they want to be tough on crime, and that is what this policy is trying to do. And it was about keeping children and the community safe. But obviously, if we think in terms of Queensland, we think in terms of Townsville and Cairns, we obviously know that there could be some sort of perpetuating of disadvantagement there, and even racism, trying to keep children inside. You know, what are you trying to say about those communities and the people that live there? So there was been a lot of backlash, and it's only a policy that they've said that they will enforce if they win the election, but so it's not to say that it's actually happening, but it's just interesting that this is kind of the mindset of the Liberal National Party to want to be creating a youth curfew.
So who could be placed under this youth curfew? Is it like kids who committed petty crimes or something like that?
So it's people under the age of 14 that are going to have to be indoors by 8 p.m. And those aged 15 to 17 will need to be inside, off the streets by 10 p.m. Not anyone in particular, just by age.
Right. Okay. That is a weird policy, even from an overseas perspective. But when you say this policy has received some criticism, is Cairns and Townsville may have quite a significant Indigenous population, and that's why it got criticisms of being a racist policy?
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's hard not to think that this is the angle as to where the Liberal National Party are trying to take. And I guess that comes in with this dog whistling idea. You know, what are you saying when you're trying to say that 14-year-olds have to be inside by 8 p.m. Also, like in Australia, in summer the sun doesn't go down until like 9:30 as well. So it's not as if the streets aren't safe in terms of daylight. There's so much daylight at 8 p.m. You know, what's the kind of messaging here? And I think that's a big... that's where the criticism has come from. What are you trying to say? They have been accused of dog whistling. What are you trying to say with this message? Who are you really trying to put inside at 8 p.m.? Is it really a community safety thing?
Moving on, now the federal government itself has been criticised for not providing enough legal service for the Indigenous people. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. So whilst I was away past few weeks, the Australian federal budget happened. So I'm very sorry I didn't get to report on that for you all, but you were all quite busy with your own election. So there has been some... Obviously, when a budget is announced, there is always kind of snowball effects from that, and very slowly are things uncovered and the holes of the budget uncovered. And one of these things is that the government is really not supplying Indigenous legal services with enough funding, and these services are already quite overstretched already. So there is massive concerns about Indigenous legal services and a lack of funding for them. Also, amid this, there's calls for more support to make sure that First Nations incarceration rates are driven down. So Labor's Pat Dodson has used a Senate time yesterday to pose these concerns to the Attorney General's Department. They are responsible for the funding. And Senator Dodson has asked officials whether additional funding would be included. Also, there's this whole rhetoric around the new closing of the gap targets, which I believe I spoke about when they came out in July, which is a very interesting, potentially problematic idea within itself.
And we, of course, talked about closing the gap a few months back. So, yeah, listeners can go back to online to check that out. But moving on now, going down even further south to Victoria, there has been some really worrying statistics about their police force.
Yeah, so we've recently just had an investigation by the ABC, I believe. They've found that a really staggering record, 82 police officers were charged with family violence in the past 5 years, but only one of them has been found guilty. So these dozens of Victoria police officers were charged with these offences, and only one has been found guilty, and that one hasn't had any convictions. These documents were obtained by the Freedom of Information Act, and they have found that the charges, so there were 68 male officers, 14 female officers. They range from issues from family violence, recklessly causing injury, rape, false imprisonment, aggravated assault, and even making threats to kill. And all of these officers, including 10 senior constables and senior sergeants, went to appear in court, nine of whom had their charges withdrawn and just one found guilty, as I mentioned. And for some context, 11% of defendants finalised in Victoria's criminal courts in 2019, their matters were withdrawn. And 84% of family and domestic violence defendants had their charges proven. So it's prevalent within this Victoria police force, but also prevalent within the wider Australia. I think that's really important to mention. Documents were showing that officers were subject to workplace actions internally to monitor their performance and their other duties, and they were reduced in their rank as officers. Some were even suspended without pay. But however, out of all of these 82 officers, none of them were sacked and none of them were dismissed. They all still have a job.
That was Neighbourhood Watch. Ripper.